The following message by Dexter Ekpe is brought to you by Bridgeway Gospel Center. For more information, visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at bridgewaygc.
So I want to teach us something that I've called the ministry of the word. I want to bring it to how you get to understand the word of God. Why this became a burden is, I think a few weeks ago I was having an interaction and I discovered how many people didn't understand what I was teaching. Not because it was difficult, but they didn't know that there's a skill required to understand. Or like I said, it wasn't people's desires to understand. So that's why I'm doing this teaching. Now I'll draw a little diagram so you get it. When you hear the word of God, the first thing it does is bring salvation. Or the first thing that God's word does, it brings salvation. This is one. So I'll do like a life cycle. Some of us did biology or kind of sciences. So, you know, you have a life cycle of insects, life cycle of animals. You have insects that have 3 life cycles, 4 life cycles. Then you have other cycles, hydrogen cycle. You have a water cycle or things like that. Okay. So when you hear the word of God, the first thing that happens, it brings salvation to your soul. That's the first thing that happens, salvation. Let me just go. Then, from salvation, it gets to the point of... transformation. That's number 2. Then from then, it gets to the 3rd point. Of empowerment. Now, this is the exciting part. You know, when Jesus was giving the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, amongst other places, he said, when they receive the word, they receive it with joy. And then it takes root in their heart. Takes root in their heart, and then there is this new life, this new experience, this new joy. Then they get to a point they are transformed. You know, there's the joy of the spirit, there's the joy of salvation, and this new life. You know, they're excited about the new life. Then they get to the 3rd point of empowerment. Most Christians stop here because this is the peak of the physical part and the manifestation part. What most believers ask God for is empowerment. This is where more of God comes in. Empowerment. To catch fire, this is where it is. So this is where most of us end it, the empowerment stage. This is where you can lay hands. Is this part? That you can lay hands and get people filled. And you know, in university, we were excited about delivering people. Not university, not secondary school. We all got born again, and then we had fellow students who were demon possessed, or so we thought, and then who were doing deliverance back to back. You know, so there was an excitement. You lay hands on somebody and they scream, "Yeah!" And demons left. It was exciting. Then that you could lay your hands on somebody and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was exciting. Why? We're happy that we had empowerment, that we could pray for sick people, and they got healed, real healing. We're happy. It was here. Empowerment. But this is the final stage. Adulthood is in, let me be sure. Yes. Adulthood is in character. That's adulthood. Is that correct? Yeah. And character is... So an adult Christian is not the one who is transformed, not the one who has power, but the one who has developed character that keeps them humble. This is the real adult Christian. So this is where maturity... This is the end of Christian maturity. It is from here that the Christian can bear fruit. Not from here. Not from here. This is where a Christian can bear fruit. I'll come to that, but let me show you something. Let me show you something. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. Remember, everything that's happening here is the word of God. It's the word of God that's moving. When it comes into your soul, into your spirit, it regenerates you. It gives you the new life. So you are now a new person in Christ Jesus, never existing before. Then the word moves to transform you. Then the word moves to empower you. Then the word moves to develop you to a full mature. And the Bible says to grow into the fullness of the stature of the image of Christ. This is it. So the fullness of the stature of the image of Christ is not here. It's not here. It isn't here. So somebody can be here, but he has not grown to the fullness of the stature. So at this place, the person has grown, but not to the fullness of the stature of the image. So you are told that an adult dog is this size, depending on the species. And a fully grown mango tree at the peak is this height. Now, at the first year, the mango tree might be bearing fruit, but it has not gone to the fullness of the stature of its image. That's what I'm trying to communicate. Mark chapter 4. A sower went down to plant seeds, and as he was sowing, some fell by the road, others fell on the rock. Other seed fell among thorns, and others fell in good ground. As soon as he was done, those who were around him together came and asked him the interpretation. Then he said to them, "The mystery of the kingdom of God has been given to you. It has been given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And a condition for knowing the mystery of the kingdom of God is a teachable heart." It means what the kingdom communicates is a mystery. I've said that before. And the word mystery is the word mysterion. Mysterion means a body of secrets available to only people who are initiated in a cult. And they are forbidden from communicating it to others who are not initiated. And even if they do, those who are non-initiated lack the ability to understand. The word mysterion, that is mystery, means a body of knowledge that is available only to people who are initiated in a cult, for which they are forbidden from communicating to others who are non-initiated. And even if when communicated, non-initiates lack the ability to understand. So the mystery of the kingdom, which is the word of God, is only understandable by those who are initiates, those who are children of God, who have received the ability. The Bible says, "For as many as received him, to them he gave power to become sons of God." A part of what that power to become a child of God does, it gives you the ability to understand the word of God. You now have the possibility in the first place to be able to understand what God is teaching. So Jesus told his disciples, after he gave the parable in the open, they came to him in the secret and asked him, "What is interpretation?" And he said, "To you it has been given to understand the mysteries." Why? You have the state of mind that is teachable of the kingdom of God. It means no matter how intelligent, how exciting the word is, if it's not understood, it remains what? A mystery. And a mystery is not useful to the hearer. So, as believers, our number one inundation, our number one drive should be not just to hear the word or get the rhema, but to understand. To understand. In the book of Acts, the Ethiopian eunuch was reading the book of Isaiah on his chariot. He was a big man, a learned man, a man of learning and letters and knowledge. A man who was schooled, a scholar, a philosopher. And he was reading the Bible. And Philip, by the Holy Spirit, came to him and asked him, Do you understand what you are reading? Understandest thou what thou readest? That's how the King James put it. So we now saw that the function of what the Word of God does to you is not how well you read it, but how well you do what? Understand it. And understanding the Bible is not the function of how smart you are. Because the eunuch was a smart man. He was the HR of Queen Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. So he was not an easy person. I mean, the last time when I think it was Zenith Bank that appointed a new CEO. Was it Zenith Bank? We saw the qualification. We saw our qualification. So before a multinational will make you their CEO, as a matter of fact, in Nigerian Bank, before you are made an ED, you must go to Harvard. They must send you to Harvard. It's a part of what they must do. Before they appoint you an ED, they must send you to Harvard. In Nigeria, before they appoint you either head of service or after they make you head of service or PAMSEC or something, they must send you to NIPS, Nigerian Institute of Nkuru, just forgotten the full name. They must send you there. Why? They want to empower you with the right cognitive ability to be able to discharge that role. So the eunuch wasn't an illiterate. He was a man of probably the highest learning available. But his learning didn't accord him understanding of the scriptures. So Philip asked him, do you understand what you are reading? He said, no. Let me show you his response. Acts of the Apostles. Where is it? Chapter 8, verse 30, somewhere around there. And Philip ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said to him, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except somebody guides me? Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, well, how could I understand except someone guides me correctly? And then he invited Philip. So when Philip came to guide him, Philip didn't give him further cognitive tutelage because he wasn't English illiterate. What Philip brought to him was the spirit of understanding through the Holy Spirit. So, let's go back to the parable of the sower. So Jesus told them, it's been given to you to know, verse 11 of chapter 4 of the book of Mark, it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Let's see what that mystery is. Do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all the other parables? So, these were people. That's verse 13. So, these were people who had been with Jesus for a long time. And he had been giving them different parables, thinking they were understanding. When he now discovered they did not understand this one, he was actually taken aback. He said, if you don't understand this one, which is the mother of everything, the kingdom. What Jesus was saying is that for you to make sense of the kingdom of God, this is where it starts from. If you don't get this one, you can't get any other one. Look at it now. He says, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the other parables? This is the bedrock of spirituality, of the kingdom and the concept it comes to represent. He now goes to explain to them from verse 14. The sower sows the word. That's the word of God. And the word of God has the same quality. The word that comes from God has the same character, the same DNA. So the problem in this context is not with the word of God. But in our days, the problem starts first from the word of God. I'll show you how the devil is doing that. When Jesus taught, the problem was not the word of God. Why? The word of God had integrity, the same power, same character. Listen very well, guys. Same ability. So the word was the same. Again, the sower had not a problem. He was doing the he was doing his work diligently. The sower didn't have a problem. He did his work diligently. In our days, the sowers have problems. Sowers have problems. Because the word is God-given, but has to go through human vessels. If I teach what I'm saying now to somebody else, he will not say the same way I'm saying. He will say it either better or worse, depending on the state of their minds. Our spirits are the same. When we get born again, our spirits are hooked to God. But for you to communicate the word of God, it has to go through your mind. So the end product of the word depends on the state of the vessel. If a tank is clean, and I pump clean water inside the tank, and I connect a pipe to deliver the water, the purity of the water wouldn't be dependent on the purity of the tank alone. It will be based on the state of the pipe. If the pipe was clean, give me. If the pipe was used to convey paint and you're now putting water through the pipe, will it give you clean water? Would it be because of the tank? It will be because of the vessel that is conveying it. So the integrity of God's word is also a function of the state of the vessel conveying it. So a dirty vessel will corrupt the word of God. Even though the word of God is in itself pure. That's why you listen to a message from a pastor and you live with a demonic obsession. It happens. I've seen it happen. You listen to a pastor, then you live with a lewd spirit. Live with a materialistic spirit. You live with an immoral tendency. I've seen it happen. Why? Although the word was pure, but it's been corrupted by the vessel. So, in this case, the word was pure. The sower, the vessel was pure. In our case, the word can be corrupted through the vessel. Then Jesus now says this, that the next variable, that the sower sows the word, and these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear it, Satan comes to pick it away immediately, the word that is sown in their heart. So the first thing the devil does is that before the word even takes root, the agent of the devil comes to take it. And the Bible uses the birds of the air. Now you mark the bird of the air. There are strings of parables. Are you listening? There are strings of parables that start from this one. An other parable comes. The parable of the leavening comes. The parable of the mustard comes. And they are all using the same imagery. That is why when the Bible gives the parable of the mustard seed, that says it is the smallest of all seeds, but when it is planted, it becomes the biggest of garden shrubs, and it grows so big, and it now has branches that the birds of the air now takes shade in its branches. That is not a good thing, it's a bad thing. Because we have seen the birds of the air to be what? Demonic activities that come to steal the world. How can a tree now grow and start harboring demonic influences? It means not every growth is a good growth. Some growth are actually is swelling up unto death. My wife and I read something about that this morning. So people can grow to a point where they start harboring things God didn't plan for them to harbor. You put something in your status this morning that when Peter preached, 3,000 people repented. When Stephen preached, he was stoned to death. Same preaching, different result. Result doesn't always guarantee the success. If we had to interpret, who failed, who succeeded? Who failed? Who succeeded? But in reality, who failed? None of them. Who succeeded? Both of them. Results differing. A generation that judges spiritual success by result is a lost one. Because two people preached the will of God. Two of them succeeded. Results different. So this guy planted a seed, a small seed. It grew so big, and the birds entered. We will clap. Oh, mighty move. No. You only became a habitation for demonic forces. But it was your growth that sponsored it. So what we call growth should be redefined across board. But let's continue. So the first thing that happens to the world is that the devil comes to steal it through demonic influences, the birds of the air. Then the next thing that happens is that the second enemy of that word, because the word is the same, the method of broadcasting the word is the same, but the first thing that happens is that the first guy that received the word, demons came to take it away, the birds of the air. So blindness and ignorance, they didn't get the word at all. So different agencies fight against various stages of the development of the word of God. The first is the bird of the air. It fights at the planting stage. Then the next is the flesh. It fights against the growth and the maturity of the seed through what we call sufferings and persecution, the flesh. That's the one that fell on the rocky grounds. So there was no earth. It couldn't take root. So the cares of this world came and buffeted it and scorched it. Now, finally, the third stage came. The word fell among thorns. We saw that when we did, which church? Church of Smyrna. We did extensively what the thorns meant. And the thorns were not persecution. The thorns were actually good things. The Bible calls it the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. So for some people, what kills the world is the cares of this world. To others, what kills the world is the deceitfulness of riches. For one, it is lack that kills the world. For the other, it is abundance that kills the world. Then the third stage, or the fourth stage, some fell among good ground. And then they germinated and they grew and all the stuff. But the devil would try to stop the planting and the growth of the word. He will try to stop it. He does everything he can to stop the word from being planted. But his greatest opposition will be ensuring that the tree does not bear fruit. When he cannot stop the word from being planted, he will make sure that after the word has been planted and grows, that tree does not bear fruit. And even if it does, that the fruit does not mature. Why? Because an immature fruit or an immature seed cannot reproduce. God does not do mass production. God does reproduction. God brings into the earth one parent carrier and makes sure that parent carrier keeps giving birth after its kind. So the integrity of the next generation depends on the soundness of the present generation. If the devil wants to stop the next generation, he corrupts the present generation. If the devil wants to stop the next generation, he does what? He corrupts the... Listen very well what I'm showing this morning. He corrupts the present generation. So if the devil knows he cannot stop the next generation, he tries to corrupt the present generation. So when they give birth, their seed would either not be able to reproduce or reproduce, but will be malnourished. It is said that a seed that is not mature has 40% chances of not germinating, an immature seed. Because when you pluck a mature mango fruit and eat the fruit and throw the seed away, it naturally will germinate. Why? Based on the integrity of the seed in that fruit. What the devil does is to get us to bring fruit immaturely or prematurely, and those fruits cannot reproduce. Because he knows God does not do mass production, but reproduction. So it is existing species that give birth to new species. So he wants the word in your heart to not be mature, so it will not give birth to newer species. You know, when you preach to somebody, what you are doing is you are reproducing after your kind spiritually. And your convert has no guarantee to come to Christ except you are a mature Christian. It's a spiritual process. You don't understand. Evangelism is spiritual maturity. Just like an immature seed cannot germinate and give. And it says even if it germinates, it will either be slow to germination. Or let me read the statistics so I don't make a mistake. This is from the American Forest Society. It says, immature seeds produce deformed or slow-growing seedlings that have very low vigor and low viability. Now, lab tests indicate that seeds that are collected 20 days before their full maturity has a 40% slower germination chance than those who are fully mature. And even if they grow, they have low vigor, low viability, and low chances of producing fruit. Immature seeds. So the devil knows that also. If he can't stop you from giving birth, he wants you to give birth to premature seeds. So when they come forth, they are seeds all the same, but their chances of reproduction is threatened. Why am I saying this? I will show you. So if the devil corrupts the integrity of the seed, every other thing that comes after will be mutant. Be mutant. If the devil tries to tinker with the DNA of the word of God inside of you and corrupts it, everything that comes after that will be a corrupted version. We call it mutant. Children watch Mutant Turtle Ninja. Those were not real turtle ninjas. But something happened to them in the lab. So they're giving birth to mutants. When you mix, if it's possible, the seed from a goat and a dog, it will be neither a dog coming forth or a goat coming forth. It will be a mutant. That is neither a goat nor a dog. And so that has no place in modern day reality. So when the devil succeeds in corrupting the DNA of the seed, you bring forth a mutant. And mutants cannot reproduce after God's kind. That is why most of the things you hear cannot give birth to a mature Christian life. Why? You were given a mutant. When somebody picks the word of God and corrupts it, either by Balaamism, which is greed, or by Nicolaitanism, which is licentiousness. You are told something like, God wants you to hammer and become a billionaire. So once you get born again, you have to hammer. And somebody picks that word in a corrupted nature. It will give birth to either greed of corruption or death entirely. Or you are told the grace of God has come. So there's no need to try. Anyhow you live is not the problem. It's a mutant. It enters you and cannot give birth to a successful Christian life. Why? It was a corrupted seed. So since the devil could not stop the kingdom from going forth, he came to the souls of men and corrupted the integrity of the word. So what we have is mutants that cannot build the kingdom of God. People who are praying in tongues, who are going for evangelism, but their lives are not fruitful. Why? The seed in them was a corrupted seed. What is giving birth to is corruption, what you call mutants. As soon as the devil succeeds in corrupting the seed, he can prosper that seed that is corrupted to bear fruit. And we will be deceived to think that we are doing well, whereas mutants cannot build the kingdom of God. If he doesn't succeed in corrupting the seed, he will do everything to make sure that the tree does not bear fruit and that the fruit does not mature, because it is only mature fruit that can reproduce. I've said that before. So we see many believers professing great faith, but exhibit crass immaturity. Great faith, but immaturity. Great faith, great manifestation, great encounters, but no maturity. Because it has borne fruit, but there's no maturity. So there is manifestation, no maturity. There are encounters. We see encounter every day. We see fire fall every day. Every day. Fire is falling. There's encounter. People are getting more of God. Demons are being cast. But all these things cannot give birth to the kingdom of God. The devil is happy when he ends here. I go for meetings, I see fire. People are shouting, yeah! Everywhere. First of all, 98% of those who shout and fall under the anointing are who? What gender? What gender? What gender? That's the first suspicion. First suspicion. You go for a program. The whole front is full. I know we like it. Bring those who under the anointing to the front. Bring them. Bring them. Now, I have no problem with these things. They can be genuine ones. But I just want to extricate emotion, which is where the seed is corrupted. I want to take it out. So you see these programs. Bring those who are under the anointing. It can be to bring them so they don't get trampled upon and injured. It's a possibility. But also, let's see how many people that caught the fire in the meeting. If there are 100, 95 are girls. Why is it so? It wasn't the anointing, it was the emotion. Wasn't the anointing. I have been close to many of them. There are people who are serial slayers, who fallers. Lifestyle remain the same. It excites us as pastors, though. Imagine what I threw my handkerchief now. Wow! And I vomit fire everywhere. Then once you leave, as soon as you leave this hall and you're outside, that woman that vomited fire, you scratch her car. And she dropped her Bible and her phone and gives you a piece of her mind. So we have these three here. But maturity is in character. This is what the real deal does. It's only here that the seed can bear fruit when it's mature. There can be encounter. There can be manifestation. There can be transformation. Short-lived. But if it doesn't get here, the kingdom of God is not reproducing. So, the devil doesn't want that to happen. The ministry of the gospel must therefore prioritize building people above building things. It is people that build the kingdom of God, not things. It is people that build the word of God, the kingdom of God, not encounters, not experiences, people. And people are not built overnight. People are not built by one encounter. People are not built by one fire that fell down. People are built by discipleship process over time, teaching the word and understanding the word. That's how people are built. People are not built by a laying on of hands. Power can be transferred by laying on of hands. But building happens when you take the grace laid upon you and now do a good warfare with it over time. Process. It's maturity. Things are good. And things will come as a result of the process. But people don't just grow. People are built intentionally. But be careful when you're building people so you don't build mutants. Product of mutation. You know, when the COVID came, we had the regular strand and people, scientists were fighting, or so they were saying, because there's a lot of fraud in that COVID thing. Biological, pharmaceutical fraud in COVID. I am not averse to science. At least you know now that I know small. I'm not averse to science. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. But COVID was 90% fraud and 10% biological. Quote me anywhere. So after some time, the main strand that came from the Wuhan lab wasn't doing enough damage. So they said there was now what? A mutant strain, a new strain that was not responding to whatever ivermectin and all the other medications that they tried to use. Then the vaccine had come and they said the vaccine was giving people immunity against the virus, and then this was happening too fast, so they had to bring a mutant strain. So you need to take the vaccine many times. Why? If you take one shot of the vaccine, the pharmaceutical company that was behind this whole thing will not make so much money. So you have to take it more shots, which is called, we call it the Big Pharma conspiracy. It's been there for a long time. Big Pharm conspiracy. So you need to take multiple booster shots. The more you take it, the more donor agencies are bringing money. Everything was a fraud. But why building men as a pastor? Please be careful not to build mutants. Because mutants will not build the kingdom of God. Who are mutants? People who are puffed up and yet not growing up. They are mutants. You have a church and there's a huge structure. In 3 months, you have structure. 3 months, the structure everywhere. You have 42 directorates, 300 departments. Every new convert has to bring 20 members in 2 weeks. She just got born again today, and she's now made an assistant pastor level 4. Then she has to reproduce herself into 4. So in 3 months, the church has 5,000 members. Everywhere is full. Wonderful. I can assure you, you have a collection of what? When it starts. They will be worse than unbelievers. Why? Because they have a form of godliness, but they don't have the power thereof. What they will do, the devil says, ah, I wasn't even this smart. Mutants, a corruption of the world. The devil's biggest battle in these last days has been to disintegrate and to adulterate the integrity of the family. Because the family is the center of reproduction. And God does not mass produce. He does what? Reproduces. And in physical parlance, it is the family that reproduces. So the devil wants to corrupt the family. Now, first of all, the devil tinkered with the order of the family. It used to be the man as the head, the woman, and the children. The devil now changed it. Do you know how the devil changed it? The animal, most important, the children, the woman, then the man. Because in Western countries, animal right is superior to child right. Then child right is superior to adult rights. Then female right is superior to male right. Why did he do that? If I tinker with the structure of the family, I can tinker with what the family is bringing forth. So even if they can bring forth children, the children will be dysfunctional. Why? Because the father has no right to bring leadership in the family. Why? I inverted the order. Then when that was not working, he now said, they're still even giving birth. I've tried, but they're still giving birth. So I'm going to now think out with the structure of the family. First, he did what? He destroyed the order. Now he went to destroy the structure. That's the constituent. So if a man and a woman comes together, at least they'll give birth to children. Now let's have a man and a man and a woman and a woman. So now, the structure and the constituent. At least I have reduced their chance of even giving birth. Biologically possible. So he achieved that. But they're sitting in surrogacy and things like that. He now went ahead to reduce people's desire to want to have children. It's actually demonic. Yes, it's demonic. I'm not saying you have 200 children, no, but people who just get married say, we don't want children. We don't want children. Why? The devil wants to reduce reproduction. Because it's the only way God can bring people on the earth and push the kingdom. Listen, Hinang says, reduce your desire to have children. You mustn't have children. And finally, since the world population is dropping and people need people to do stuff, let's have test tube babies. So now you have babies in production line. You come into a factory. You have artificial wombs in a whole factory. And babies are being incubated. Go on, research is going on. What do you think those children will be when they come out? There will be people without souls who are walking the earth, doing the bidding of those who programmed them. Because a seed gives birth after its kind. But mutants give birth after what? So it will be worse mutation. I'm telling you what's happening biologically. This is happening also spiritually. So if I preach to you with the intention of raising money and building a big church, believe me, first of all, the seed is corrupted. It will fall into your heart. It will give birth to more greed. So when I'm building a mutation, not a kingdom of God, that I have a 2,000-seater capacity, running 7 services in a day, doesn't mean I am propagating spirituality. It might just be a propagation of mutations of many sorts. So what you're seeing in the world is happening in the church. The seed is being corrupted. The sons of men are corrupted. The altar is corrupted. The structure is corrupted. So everything is upside down. And men come, they can't understand what is being preached. Because spirituality starts from the right word being preached by the right vessel and being understood. Ephesians 3 verse 16. Just read the scriptures to buttress the point why we should understand the scriptures. Then we pray. You see, after this kind of preaching now, you know how you will pray, Abby. The prayer will not be so emotional and emotive anymore. It will be more of thinking. It's okay. You know, fire prayer is okay. It has its place. But it's not always tenable. It's not always the case. Fire prayer is not a function of deciding to pray fire prayer. Fire prayer is entering the place of praying, and then the Holy Ghost does something in your spirit, and then a passion arises. Fire prayer is not praying so we know that only amen, amen. So it did happen. If people come into this place, they don't know we are praying, no. Fire prayer is that you hear the word, you understand it, it's there burning in your soul, and you are praying, then it erupts from your inside. It has its place. It happens. It is not engineered. It is organic. A product of the Spirit doing a work in your soul. But this is where it starts. Ephesians 3 verse 16. If you give me, I like it. That he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in your inner man. So the first thing that you should pray for this morning is God give you strength in your inner man. Where does it start from? Your inner man, not your emotion. Your inner man is your spirit. The first place the word goes is your inner man, to start doing a work in your inner man, not in your brain, not your thinking faculty, not your mechanization. No, it's not animation. Prayer is not animation. The fire of God is not animation. It's not noise. It's not vocal. It's not animated. It's first a contact in your inner man. It can pour over in different ways. Madness is different. Some people, madness is energetic. Others, madness is what? Slow. That's why psychiatrists are trained. Some people, when they go psychotic, they are animated. Others, when they go psychotic, they are withdrawn. So the Holy Ghost also manifests in different ways. Some people, when they are drunk, they do what? They talk so well. Others, when they are drunk, they do what? They lie so well and just, oh Lord. All of them are what? Drunkenness. Same with spirituality. Some can get under the Spirit and they are animated. Great. Others can get there and they sit in one place and their spirit smote them. Can't you see we are forced into one mold? Why? We want to achieve a certain kind of aura of uniformity. Your inner man first. Ephesians 1 from verse 17. First. Ephesians 1 from verse 17. Apostle Paul was praying for the Ephesian church from verse 16. He says, ever since I heard from verse 15, says, ever since I heard about your love and your faith, I've not ceased remembering you in my prayers that the God of our Father Jesus Christ would, and I says, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. It starts from God giving you what? The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So real spiritual maturity starts from God giving you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When the word is preached, the Holy Ghost goes in your heart, does the work of expanding. It comes as capsules. I've said this before. When you want to take a capsule, what you are taking is not that gelatin. The real compound or substance is inside. But you might not be able to take it because of the different tastes. From bitterness to sourness to blandness to insipidity. There are many ways you can taste. You can't take it. So they'll put it in a slippery substance called gelatin. And usually, the gelatin has no nutritional or pharmaceutical value. It is neutral. It's not harmful. It's not productive. Just a way of conveying. Same way, sometimes our words don't have any serious spiritual value. Whether I preach with energy or slowness, it doesn't matter. Whether my diction is pristine or my grammar is terrible, it doesn't matter. It's just gelatin. Real preaching is spirit. Words only convey. When spirit enters spirit, the God of our Father of Jesus now grants you wisdom and knowledge in your inner man. So we are foolish to think that if the preacher is eloquent, then the word is great. You are a fool. You are a fool to think that. That is why some of you have not benefited from the best of the words. The guy is not shouting. He's not whooping. He's not dramatic like Dexter. He doesn't speak good grammar. So the guy is there speaking Yoruba and mixing with Igbo. But he's spitting spirit. But your mind is too dull of reason to understand. So you want to interpret spiritual things via your physical. See, don't ever put the word of God in the mold. It mustn't come the same way. Some will speak great grammar. Some will just keep reading a homily. You know, you see those who read homilies, you think they're not olden days preachers, all the Spurgeons, they read homilies. Let me tell you how those homilies come. They sit down, open their, like what I preached yesterday. It was there I was sitting. There. I was sitting there. It was as if they opened the tap. It was flowing. I was typing. Once it stopped. So if I come here and say, I'll just read that in a flow. This guy, I've seen people who analyze pastors that he can preach for 2 hours without looking at the paper. Nonsense. Total nonsense. His own came when he was standing there. Others, their own came before they came on the stage. And you see that thing you wrote, you won't remember one. You didn't consult any book to write it. But when it's done, it's done. Capsules. When it enters your spirit, it now opens up in the heat of your alimentary canal. Then the heat now melts the gelatin. The real thing starts flowing. Guess what? The Holy Ghost now starts drawing upon things you didn't know was there. That's why I say that the preaching of the word of God is what I call a broad spectrum intervention. What does it mean? That when it comes in one form, it can attend to many things. That's why I hate all this specialized objective preaching. Let's do marriage seminar to treat marital problems. Crap. Let's teach financial seminar to teach financial problems. No. The word of God that heals a marriage can heal a financial problem. Why? It's broad spectrum. Ask doctors. There are antibiotics that are narrow. they can deal with one strand of bacteria. Others are broad spectrum, can deal with a wide variety of things. That's how the word of God is. The same word that heals a sick can cast a devil and heal a psychotic person and then stop somebody that has a poor consecration and then heal somebody that has a financial problem. Broad spectrum. Why? It is spirit. Since the word I speak to you is life and powerful. It's living and powerful. I see you have that message. Life active culture. Still coming. Go down. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, that you may understand. That you may understand. I want to be sure if it's the word I think it is. That you may understand. You know, there's a portion that Apostle Paul was, I think it's is in 3:16, Ephesians 3:16. Is it Ephesians 3:16? Is that no? The word I'm looking for, you know, when they say that you may understand the deep things of God, that word there is katalambano, that you might, that you may grab and lay hold of and apprehend the deep things of God. So when the word of God is preached and then you receive it, it enters your spirit, then the Holy Ghost opens it up. Then you now lay hold and grab tightly without letting go. The things God have communicated, then they start synthesizing and becoming a part of your reality. I keep using this instance about garlic. You can't eat garlic and hide it. Even if you brush your teeth, your pores will expose you. Why? When they enter, they will now ooze, come out from every part of you. That's how the word of God is. It is spirit. It's called quick and powerful. It's called double-edged sword. It tears everywhere. If the word enters you, we will know. Why? It will show. It is impossible for the living word of God to enter you, your spirit. And we don't know, it's impossible. It will manifest through your pores. Your lifestyle will change. Your thought process will change. Your speaking patterns will change. Everything will change. Your actions and inactions will change. A spirituality that doesn't give birth to a change in conduct is fraud. Now, it is through this tool and agency that God wants to build us and build his kingdom. From the entrance of the incorrupt, the Bible calls it the incorruptible word of God, the seed of the word of God, enters your spirit and gives birth to that incorruptible life. That's how the kingdom is built. That's how you are built. So our prayer this morning will be, first of all, Father, grant us understanding of your word. Everywhere you find yourself, whether you're a member of this church or not, anytime you sit down to study the word or hear the word, let it first of all come. Listen. I pray God grants you a corruption sensor, a corruption detector. That God will grant you a corruption detector. I read, I think it was Andrew Womack, somebody, I don't know who was preaching. He talked about a relative of his that worked in a dangerous gaseous plant, you know, manufacturing some of these dangerous gases. And he said, the gases are so dangerous and so toxic that inhaling a very tiny percentage of it can start ruining your DNA and can kill you eventually. So he then said that what they do is that they have these sensors that picks up the lowest. If, for example, the permissible amount of human inhalation before it becomes toxic is 10%. If, for example, if you inhale less than 10%, it is not harmful to you. The sensor picks up 0.005%. The permissible level before it becomes harmful is 10%. The sensor picks up 0.005%. before it even starts becoming an issue, the sensor picks it up. And now says that they calibrate those sensors every month. Because what happens is that as the gases are coming to the sensors, it's reducing the ability of the sensors to peak. So the sensor is there, but the gas has built up to 5%. Why? The gas itself goes to clog the ability of the sensors. That's how corruption is. You've heard corrupted word to a point that your ability to pick the corruption is being lulled every day. That's why you're sitting in the church for 2 years. And then the whole place is permeated with the spirit of lust. And nobody picks it up. Why? Everybody's sensor has been dulled and deadened. That's what happens. That the man of God is spewing pride. He's communicating a devil of pride and you are there. Nobody's spirit is picking it. Why? Because gradually your sensor is being deadened. Gradually. So the first prayer is that God, let my sensitivity be enlightened to pick every error. Because if you pick the error, you can call the attention of the pastor and say, Father, this thing you said, I don't understand that way. If he has the right heart, he will change. If not, you know you're in for a problem. You will know. Because we all need calibration. All of us should go to God every day and say, Father, recalibrate me. I can be here forming a nice guy, preaching the right thing. Gradually, I'm veering off, small. And then we are all blind at the same level. Nobody's seen anything. Blind pastor, blind members, everybody is going towards destruction. Nobody's seen anything. It is a crime. Somebody's eyes should be open in this house. So if for any reason I miss it, somebody should get it. If I miss it, and somebody gets it, we are fine. Provided my heart is still what? Malleable and teachable. There are many things that make up this matter. So I'm going to pray. Say, Father, heighten my sensitivity. May I not allow errors to pass me without picking it. That's the first prayer. It's about your soul that we are preaching, we're talking about. Yeah. A lively church is not just a lively pastor. It's also lively members. People whose senses are enlightened. Apostle Paul said that the light of your understanding, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. It means that the light of God will flood through your heart, dispelling every darkness. Say, Father, every darkness in my heart that allows error to pass unnoticed, let your light shine through my heart. Illuminate is called fortizo, a beaming of God's light through your heart. That no darkness can have any place to hide in my heart. No darkness. Before it grows to become something of significance, that your spirit in me can pick it up. I receive a sharp spirit. In the name of Jesus, make that prayer. It's time for real business. You can stand, you can sit, you can kneel. Just make sure you're not sleeping. It's about your destiny. We are all called to play critical roles in this kingdom. Everybody has their place. You can be the hand. If you don't grab, nothing will be grabbed. You can be the mouth. If you don't speak, nothing will be spoken. You can be the ear. If you don't hear, nothing will be heard. You can be the nose. If you don't smell, nothing will be smelt. Say, Father, I receive the grace to be sensitive in my role and not compromise. We rebuke every compromise in the name of Jesus. We are free from every agent of corruption. In the name of Jesus, every agent that the enemy can bring corruption, we decree in the name of Jesus, it doesn't take hold in our heart. Come on, pray, not in my heart. Corruption does not take hold in my heart. In the name of Jesus, corruption will not take root in my heart. In the name of Jesus, hey, Carlos. In the name of Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, 17 and 18. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go from verse 14. 2 Peter 3 from verse 14. The Amplified Version. So, beloved, since you are looking forward to these things, be diligent. That's, we're expecting the new heaven and the new earth, our spiritual heritage. Be diligent and make every effort to be found by him at his return, spotless and blameless. In peace, that is, inwardly calm, with a sense of spiritual well-being and confidence, having lived a life of obedience to him. And consider the patience of our Lord, that is, his delay in judging and avenging wrongs as salvation, that is, allowing time for more to be saved. Just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you, according to the wisdom given to him by God, speaking about these things as he does in all of his letters, in which there are some things that are difficult to understand, which the untaught and unstable twist and interpret, just as they do the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. Therefore, this is where I'm going to. Therefore, let me warn you, beloved, knowing these things beforehand, be on your guard so that you are not carried away by the error of unprincipled men who distort doctrine and fall from your own steadfastness of mind and the faith and of the truth, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Now, the only way you can be preserved from falling into the error of unprincipled men is by doing what? By growing. By growing. There are so many errors, so many corruptions, and they are so subtle you might not know. But your only guarantee against falling into error is to do what? To grow in grace and grow in knowledge. To grow in grace. So nobody can save you from error except yourself. Your own growth. Growing in grace. Growing in knowledge. Growing in grace and growing in knowledge. Knowledge is studying and understanding the word of God. Grace is what the world does inside of you. Say, Father, I refuse to stay stagnant. I grow in grace. I grow in knowledge every day. I will not fall into any error. In the name of Jesus, I won't fall into any errors. In the name of Jesus, I grow in grace. I grow in knowledge. Every day, I grow in grace. I grow in knowledge. Every day, I grow in grace. I grow in knowledge. In the name of Jesus, I know more of you and I become more like you. That's what it's talking about. More of you and more like you. In the name of Jesus, we grow in grace. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Final prayer before I end my session. The final prayer, Daniel 8, 15 to 19. I mentioned this last Friday. Daniel 8, 15 to 19. In this scripture, Daniel had just seen a very complex vision of rams and goats and horns and all those kind of things. What we'll call encounter. What we'll call encounter. What we'll call revelation. Daniel has seen this great revelation. Now, see guys. Even Revelation 2 can lead you astray. Hello? Listen up. Even revelation, even a genuine, sincere revelation can also lead you into errors. Because it is not the revelation that guides you. It is the understanding and interpretation that guides you. But guess what? The revelation is pure from the Spirit. The interpretation is a product of your mind. You're not getting me. Children of God, every revelation, most times they're all pure from the Spirit, to your spirit, pure. But the interpretation is a product of your own mind, of the level of your knowledge of the Word of God, and the transformation of your soul. So you can have a pure revelation from God, but leading to error because you did what? Interpreted it wrongly. Daniel chapter 8, 15 to 19. Then it happened that when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and I was seeking the meaning, it means he saw the vision but didn't have understanding. So he now sought to understand the vision he saw. Most people get strong revelation and run to street with it. That's what it is. They get a revelation and they're all over the place. Didn't seek to understand what it means. And suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a voice between the banks of the Ulai River who called me and said, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So it is God that gives the revelation. It is also him that gives what? The ability to understand. It is God that gives the word. And it's still him that gives ability to understand. And so he came near where I stood. And when he came to me, I was afraid and I fell to my face. But he said to me, do you understand what you heard? But he said to me, understand, son of man, that the vision refers to the time of the end. Now that he was speaking to me, I was in a deep sleep with my head, my face to the ground. But he touched me and I stood upright. And he said, look, I am making known to you what shall happen in the later time of the indignation. For at the appointed time, the end shall be. I'm going to pray for a spirit of understanding. I don't care how deep what you hear is. I don't care how deep what I preach is. Without understanding, it will only be wasted. It can lead you to errors. Say, Father, I receive understanding of deep things. I receive understanding of simple things. I receive understanding of visions and revelations. I receive understanding of your word in the name of Jesus. Every tendency of misunderstanding, every root of unbelief, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Father, we receive understanding. We have understanding hearts to receive your word and to know your word in the name of Jesus. That when we hear your word, Father, we have understanding in the name of Jesus. We shall not stumble and make errors of your word. In the name of Jesus, as we receive seeing eyes and hearing ears, we receive understanding hearts also. In the name of Jesus, when our eyes see, our minds will understand. In the name of Jesus, when our ears hear, our minds will understand. In the name of Jesus, give us understanding, Father. Every one of us in this house, as we hear your words daily, as we study your words daily, Father, we understand. In the name of Jesus, as we hear your words, Father, we receive understanding hearts. In the name of Jesus, we'll not just hear and get excited, but we'll hear and understand. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, as I hear, I understand. In the name of Jesus, as you show me also, you teach me to understand. In the name of Jesus, I will not teach the wrong things. In the name of Jesus, as I hear, Father, help me to understand. In the name of Jesus, interpret to me how it's applicable to everybody's life. In the name of Jesus, and I can apply it to my own life daily.
Thank you for listening. Worship with us at Bridgeway Gospel Center, 33 Anwai Road, Asaba, Sundays 9 a.m. and Fridays 5:30 p.m. You can visit us at bridgewaygc.com and follow us on all social media platforms at Bridgeway GC. God bless you.